Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in our gospel reading, we hear this account of the Christmas story from Joseph's point of view. And what's incredible in this account is what really isn't in it. Because in the Christmas story, is we hear it and we know it well. We know that so many people have speaking parts. You know, the angels bring their greetings. Mary sings a song of praise. The shepherds bring word from the hills outside of Bethlehem. But what's interesting, if you go back and you look again at this account from Matthew with Joseph, is that Joseph speaks not a single word. Matthew doesn't record anything that Joseph said. Now, Matthew records some of the things that were running through his mind, some of the things that he was thinking, the things that he did, but there's not one recorded word from Joseph. What's probably even more remarkable is if you broaden your horizons a bit and you look at the rest of the New Testament, Joseph doesn't get a word in, not a single word. And it's incredible when you stop to think about this. This was the guy God chose to raise his son. That's his adopted son. And what's incredible in this is that even though Joseph doesn't get a word in edgewise, his actions speak, and they speak loudly. And there are three lessons that you can really take away from Joseph in these short verses, even though he doesn't say a single word. And the first lesson that you can take away from this silent carpenter is a lesson in mercy. So if you get your bulletins, your Bibles, you can take those out and look at the first few verses here, verses 18 and 19. And it begins this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Joseph's reaction here to this news says a lot about the kind of man that he was. We stumble across Joseph here at the beginning as he's in this moment of personal crisis. And as you've experienced this before, moments of crisis, they tend to show us who people really are. They tend to show us who we really are. It's in those moments of personal crisis that the facades, the masks that we wear, that we show to the world, all of those, the pretense, all of that drops away and we see people as they truly are. And this is one of those moments where we see who Joseph truly is, a just man and also a merciful man. You got to back up and imagine from Joseph's perspective what's going on here. He's, you know, at this point in his life where he's engaged to the girl of his dreams, he's planning a marriage, and he's looking forward to the future, as many of you have done as well. You look forward to the future and you look forward to establishing your home, establishing your job, your career. You look forward with expectation to what the future might hold, the children that you'll have, the places that you'll go and that you'll see. You know, Joseph has got to be full of this sense of anticipation, and then into that anticipation comes this news. And we're not sure entirely where Joseph heard it first, that Mary was pregnant. Maybe Mary told him herself. Maybe he heard it from her family or his family, or maybe he just heard it because the word had gotten out. And not just that Mary was pregnant, but that she was claiming that this child was hers by the Holy Spirit. It's hard to imagine what Joseph must have thought, what he must have been feeling there in that moment. He had a decision to make. How would he respond? He could subject her to public shame. He could, by rights, have her tried for adultery. And if she wouldn't be stoned for adultery, she could be stoned for blasphemy, for claiming that this child was hers by the Holy Spirit. And yet Joseph doesn't do any of that. Instead, he chooses the path of mercy. He decides he'll just divorce her quietly because he doesn't want to bring her to public shame. This, after all, is a woman that he loves. And it's incredible that Joseph makes this decision even before the angel comes to explain to him that what he's heard is actually true. There's no record of an outburst of anger or rage from Joseph. No real questions from him to Mary. How could you do this to me? What were you thinking? All that is shown is a record of mercy, a record of Joseph's tenderness and care, his concern for Mary. When he could have demanded justice, when he could have done all of these other things, instead, he chose mercy. And that's a good lesson for us today, too, because we know what it's like to be hurt. We know what it's like to be wronged, to be injured, to be betrayed. And in those moments that we face, in those moments of personal crisis, we too are faced with a decision. What will we do in that moment? You choose revenge? Or, like Joseph, you choose mercy? Like Joseph, the way that we react in those moments, it says a lot about the kind of people that we are. And so this, in these first few verses, in this account of Joseph hearing the news about Mary's surprising pregnancy, we see this lesson in mercy. But it's not just a lesson in mercy we see. We also see a lesson in redemption. In those next two verses, it says, "But as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" This lesson in redemption is that God, kind of, as he comes to Joseph through this angel in his dream, he gives Joseph a glimpse into his divine plan. Joseph himself is a descendant of King David. And God chose Joseph just as much as he chose Mary. He chose Joseph to raise the Messiah, to raise his own son. And the angel instructed Joseph to name this child Jesus, which literally means "the Lord is salvation." His name itself is a glimpse into what the purpose of this child is going to be. He'll redeem his people from their sins. Now, to redeem simply means to buy back or to purchase. And in order for something to be redeemed, a price has to be paid. Now, in the list of big theological terms and concepts, redemption is one of those nice ones because it's relatively easy to illustrate. Now, for any baseball buffs out there, anybody remember the name Lou Johnson? This guy back in the 60s. In 1965, he was an outfielder for the LA Dodgers. And in 1965, he helped lead them to a World Series title. Unfortunately for Lou, like so many athletes before him, after this great success and all the fame that came with it, he fell into drugs and alcohol. And caught in the midst of that addiction, he wound up losing everything from that World Series run. To feed his addiction, he sold his uniform, he sold his glove, he sold the bat that helped him hit a home run in a deciding game. He even sold his world championship ring. Now, Lou eventually was able to get himself back on track, was able to get himself clean from the drugs and the alcohol. But he spent 30 years trying to find that World Series ring that he lost to drug dealers back in 1971. Spent 30 years trying to find it. And when he did find it, he never had the money to buy it back. But at one point, it came up for auction. And the president of the Dodgers Association, Bob Graziano, if I'm pronouncing his name right, he heard about it. And what he did was he went, and before any bids had been posted, he went and he bought this ring and gave it back to Lou. He redeemed it. He did what Lou was unable to do for himself. This is what redemption is. In the same way God has redeemed you, he's done what you were unable to do yourself. He redeemed you. He bought you back at the price, the blood of his own son, Jesus. This is what it means. This is what redemption means. That when we say the name Jesus, the Lord is salvation, that is what it means. And so it's incredible to think what Joseph must have thought when he hears this message, not just the shock that the news that Mary's pregnant by the Holy Spirit, not just the shock that that is true, but that this child of hers is the very Son of God, the Messiah, the one who will redeem his people. And not just other people, but the one who would redeem Joseph himself. And the incredible thing, just as incredible as all of that, is Joseph's response, which leads us to the third and final lesson that we can garner from this carpenter who doesn't have any recorded words. It's a lesson in obedience. You see, the last two verses, it says, "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she'd given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." What's remarkable is that Joseph, immediately upon waking up, goes and does what the angel of the Lord instructs him to do. He doesn't question. He doesn't take time to consider his options and what may happen to him if he does this. He simply goes and takes Mary as his wife, as he was instructed to do. Later, when the child was born, he names him Jesus, just as the angel instructed him to do. A little later on, when Jesus was still a small child, the angel came to him a second time in another dream at night and told him that they needed to flee to Egypt because King Herod was coming to kill the child. And that night, in the middle of the night, Joseph woke up and without hesitation left his home, left his job, left his family and friends, took Mary and Jesus and fled to Egypt. We see this over and over again, although Joseph doesn't have a single recorded word in the scriptures. What we see is his obedient faith to God, time and time again. And the Bible also often does this. It depicts faith and obedience as the, you know, kind of sides, two sides of the same coin. And the Bible is very clear that we're saved by grace through faith, and this is not by our own works. We're not saved by our own obedience. And yet our obedience flows from that faith that is given to us by God. And the scriptures use a lot of different images to illustrate how this works, how the things that we do flow out of what God has first done for us. Now, Jesus used the imagery of the vine and the branches. God is like the vine and we are like the branches. Separated from the vine, we can do nothing. We can't grow, we can't live. But so long as we remain connected into the vine, connected into God, we have life and we can grow. Another image that gets used in the scriptures is the sculptor and the clay. God is like the sculptor and we're like the clay. You ever seen a lump of Play-Doh? It doesn't do anything on its own. It's only when it's in the hands of a sculptor, in the hands of a child, that it takes its form. In the same way, we can do nothing on our own, but in the hands of God, he can form us into who he's created us to be. There was an African convert that came up with a different image for this relationship between faith and obedience. And he really stumbled upon this imagery. He was walking through this school where children were learning how to sew. And he watched the needle and the thread, and he likened our relationship with God to a needle and a thread. God like the needle, and we're like the thread. Wherever the needle goes, the thread follows. See, in this short account, this Christmas story, where the spotlight is on Joseph, although he doesn't say a single word, his actions speak, and they speak loudly. Now, during the Christmas season, as we drive around, you see the nativity sets. As we come here, you see this nativity set. Maybe you take in a journey to Bethlehem and over at Harvester, and you kind of walk through what it would have been like a little bit for Mary and Joseph as they made their way to Bethlehem that first time. When you hear the Christmas story again and you hear Joseph, I hope that you'll remember that while this carpenter never had a single word attributed to him, his actions spoke, and spoke loudly, of mercy, and obedience, and the redemption that was his through this son, adopted son, that God gave to him. In Jesus' name, amen.